ProPublica reported last month that U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas accepted years' worth of luxury trips on super yachts and flights on private jets from Harlan Crow, a billionaire Republican donor. Justice Thomas has characterized the trips as personal hospitality from a longtime family friend and said that public disclosure was not required. ProPublica is also reporting that Crow paid for the private education of a relative of Justice Thomas and bought a home from Justice Thomas where the justice's mother still lives. Neither the trips nor the purchases had been previously disclosed. Chief Justice John Roberts declined to testify to the Senate Judiciary Committee in a hearing about ethics, citing concerns about judicial independence and the separation of government powers. Republican senators dismissed last week's Judiciary Committee hearing as a partisan attack on the court's legitimacy and conservative majority. Democratic senators argued that the lower courts and other branches of government are held to higher ethical standards than the Supreme Court. The recent revelations and political wrangling have raised some questions about ethical rules and responsibilities for the nation's top court and the effects they can have on our confidence in the judicial system. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about judicial ethics? What's your response to the recent news stories about Justice Thomas and some other justices, money they've received, whether they had to disclose it or not? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Russ Feingold is a former Democratic U.S. Senator from Wisconsin. He's president of the Progressive American Constitution Society. He's authored the book, The Constitution in Jeopardy. Senator Feingold, welcome back to Central Time.
Good afternoon. You bet.
What, compare and contrast for us, what are the differences in ethics guidelines for Supreme Court justices versus the whole rest of the federal judicial system?
Well, this is just an amazing thing in light of these revelations. The people who are on the federal courts, both at the Court of Appeals levels, as in the Seventh Circuit for Wisconsin, or district court judges who sit in Madison or Milwaukee, are part of a national ethics code that is enforced by the judicial conference that says, look, you have to disclose personal gifts and various things that you've received. There are rules about situations where you have to or should recuse yourself from deciding on a case. In other words, not help rule on the case because you might have a personal interest. And somehow it's evolved that the United States Supreme Court doesn't have to abide by those rules. The executive branch has rules, the Congress has rules, the lower courts have rules at the state level, the state legislators do, and the judges do, but somehow the Supreme Court is exempt. And you might say, well, that's because they're beyond reproach. But these recent revelations about Justice Thomas show just the opposite. They show a shocking lack of judgment to think that one should accept this kind of gift, and it is high time for the Supreme Court to have serious ethics rules like everybody else.
With the Justice Thomas stories in particular, one of the responses has been, and I think this was in the National Review, there's no quid for quo here, that, okay, yes, a friend of Justice Thomas gave him lucrative travel and things like that, but we can't point toward a specific instance where this particular gift resulted in any difference in how Justice Thomas behaved as a judge. So no reason for concern there would be the argument.
Well, if you were trying to criminally prosecute him for having taken a quid pro quo, that would be one thing. But that isn't what this is. This is about ethical disclosure. Members of Congress can't avoid disclosing their personal interests on the argument that you can't prove a quid pro quo. It's a requirement that you have to let the public know. It has to do with public confidence. And, you know, ProPublica reports that Justice Thomas had this financial relationship with Harlan Crow and that there were secret payments to his wife, Ginny Thomas. We're now hearing about tuition being paid for a great nephew of his. We're also hearing about other justices potentially involving real estate deals. I mean, none of this has to do necessarily with a situation that would lead to a criminal prosecution. But what it has to do with is that the public has a right to know that the highest court in the land is disclosing their personal interests. And if anyone really believes that these kinds of extreme gifts to Justice Thomas doesn't have some influence on him, I've got a bridge I'd like to sell you.
Chief Justice Roberts declined to come before the Senate Judiciary Committee, as I mentioned, at this hearing, saying it raises concerns over the separation of powers. who, if we want Supreme Court ethical guidelines changed, who gets to change them?
Well, the court itself should be doing the job, but it isn't. And Congress can pass a law signed by the president, either insisting that the court do it itself or create its own rules. That is not anything that is violating Congress's role. And, you know, it's interesting because I was involved in the confirmation of Justice Thomas or Judge Thomas when he was then Judge Roberts when he was then Judge Roberts. And I asked him questions under oath, as a senator does on Judiciary Committee. And I asked him what you could do to prevent special interests from lobbying judges. And he said that he didn't think special interests should be allowed to lobby federal judges. And so he made a under oath statement to that effect. And it seems to me that it would have been perfectly appropriate for him to appear in response to this request. It was not a subpoena, to appear at the hearing to allow him to explain how the court does this work, and to allow members of Congress who have a right to legislate on this or to investigate this to ask questions. He should have done it. I suppose he didn't do it because he felt it was something that Congress shouldn't be able to do, but I think he's wrong about that. And I voted for him. I voted for him because I thought he would be an even-handed Chief Justice. In some ways he has been, but I think he's mishandling this situation by basically acting like the emperor has no clothes, that there isn't a problem, that we're not to worry about what's happening with the court. But these allegations against Justice Thomas are very serious, and they're undermining the Supreme Court's legitimacy and the rule of law, which harms all of us, not just Democrats, not just Republicans. So I think Roberts should go before the Judiciary Committee voluntarily.
Talking about the U.S. Supreme Court, its ethical guidelines, where it doesn't have ethical guidelines. Russ Feingold is with us, former member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, former senator from Wisconsin. You could join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Dennis is with us in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi, Russ. A big problem is people tend to vote on what they figure the standards should be. Like, you and I agree on some things, we disagree on other things, but why don't we get to some fundamental questions? Like, an example would be, if you have a fetus inside a pregnant human body, is that fetus human or is it not? If it's not human, then what
Dennis,
is it?
Dennis, you're bringing us to another issue. Do you have thoughts on the ethics of the Supreme Court here?
That well, that's like? Part of it, is a lot of... Russ Feingold and others would be most likely against Thomas and others because of their stance on abortion, which I'm against abortion, but I'm against Thomas and others being unethical financially.
Dennis, I got you. Thanks for the call. So I think, Dennis, getting to the difficulty in confirming Supreme Court justices over a political view, a political difference, like an issue like abortion versus what he says is a fundamental ethical view, like we're talking about, Senator Feingold.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. It's very important for me to for people to realize that this the question about what's happened with ethics and the lack of rules at the Supreme Court is completely distinct from the terrible things that the Supreme Court has been doing with regard to its politicizing decisions, undermining Roe v. Wade, really taking an extreme view on guns, undermining the right to vote. But this program today is not about that series of serious problems that we need to address, because the court has been politicized by essentially stealing justices from Democratic presidents. This is about something else. This is about the fact that regardless of your political party, regardless of your vote on abortion or anything else, you should have to tell the American people about special gifts and interests that you receive. It doesn't necessarily mean in all cases you can't get them, but they should and must be disclosed. That's the issue here.
Thanks for that call. I want to give a listen to Senator Sheldon Whitehouse from Rhode Island talking about how this kind of influence might work, talking here about the late Justice Antonin Scalia accepting over 7 dozen apparently undisclosed hunting vacations.
It was systematized. Some intermediary would ask the owner of an expensive resort, often a commercial property, to extend to Scalia a personal invitation to the resort. Even where the owner was someone he'd never met, Scalia treated as personal hospitality because of the personal invitation and failed to disclose the vacations. Gun industry advocates, fossil fuel folks, and Republican political figures often tagged along. No reasonable reading of the term personal hospitality would cover this, but the Supreme Court let this go on for years.
And Senator Feingold, that idea of personal hospitality, you know, you stay over with a relative or an old friend or something like that, it's exempt from these reporting guidelines as they exist for the U.S. Supreme Court. Senator Whitehouse there suggesting that offers a potentially very big loophole.
Of course, Senator Whitehouse is completely correct. You know, under Wisconsin state legislative laws that I lived under 10 years, you couldn't even get a cup of coffee from a lobbyist or somebody like that. You couldn't go on these trips without disclosing them. Some legislators went to jail or were convicted because of personal hospitality or gifts they received from lobbyists in Wisconsin. So the idea that this kind of annual good old boy hunting trip isn't a violation of this and shouldn't be reported is on its face ridiculous. Of course it should be reported. And the American people have a right to know that their justices, not just judges, but justices of the Supreme Court are in these kind of buddy-buddy situations that obviously have an influence on the perspective of a judge. You know, I grew up with people like Tom Fairchild and Jim Doyle, judges at the state and federal level, who clearly understood that as a judge, you have to give up certain of those things you might have had if you had stayed in law practice or in business. Being a judge is a different thing. And it's high time the Supreme Court justices and those who are not reporting this information understand that.
Talking to Russ Feingold, former Democratic senator from Wisconsin, current president of the American Constitution Society, looking at ethics guidelines for U.S. Supreme Court justices. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about how this works? Do you worry about the fairness of the courts? Do you want to see Congress step in and try to impose some kind of ethical guidelines on Supreme Court justices? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with former Democratic U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, Russ Feingold. He was on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and we're talking about the ethical standards we hold for our nation's highest court after reports of undisclosed gifts and payments to Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and his family. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Chris is with us in Menominee. Chris, hi.
Hi. First off, I just wanted to say thank you for mentioning Senator Whitehouse and bringing that up. I really appreciate everything he's bringing to the table. Second of all, these Republican mega donors, whether it's Harlan Crow or I believe it's Leonard Leo, they have made their positions extremely forward. And the notion that their gifts, Justice Roberts, Justice Thomas, and others on the high court doesn't have some kind of influence, I think it's just a mistake. And also, I think that having any confidence that the high court is going to do the right thing, if you will, I have very low confidence that they will at this point. I think it's shameful of the high court, and I think we, the people, definitely need to kind of make a stand here.
Chris, thanks a lot for that call. Senator Feingold, if people agree with Chris and want to change things, what could individual people do?
Well, he couldn't be more right. That's exactly the problem. This isn't just about individual justices not revealing information. The court itself is losing its legitimacy. The polls show an enormous drop in the public's view of the United States Supreme Court, and that's very dangerous for our system. The idea in the past was that the court was supposed to be the least dangerous branch, because Congress had the sword or the purse and the president had the sword, and they just had to have public credibility to support their ability to rule on congressional issues, whether they're constitutional or not. So it is crucial that the court be legitimate. So I think the next step here, I don't think there's any justification for flailing around, but the next step is to call Justice Thomas before the Judiciary Committee. If he comes voluntarily, which is extremely unlikely, fine. If not, he needs to be subpoenaed in order to be questioned and to let him explain his view of what he did and for there to be an investigation. So before people start talking about whether he should resign or whether he should be impeached or all the things that could happen, the first thing is to find out his perspective and to have members of the Senate to have the right to question him about it. That needs to be done. They already held a hearing generally on the subject, which is good. So this should be a step-by-step thing. One thing we can't do though is to just let this go, because this is undermining the credibility of the highest court in the land.
Thanks for that call, Chris. Wendy joins us now in Duluth. Wendy, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. You know, I have to kind of chuckle. To me, this seems like just basic common sense. But I'm reminded as I'm driving here about I was a vendor, an outside vendor for a company that's owned by the wealthiest man in the state of Wisconsin. And we as vendors could not so much as buy a cup of coffee or a lunch for anyone in within that company because it was seen as, you know, lobbying or pandering right. or buying off, and it was not allowed. Now, that happens to be a conservative company. Everybody in business knows that this is not ethical. And so, really, this isn't politics. This is common sense, and we have come so far from common sense in this country that it's just sad.
Wendy, thanks for the call. Senator Feingold.
Said it perfectly. It's just common sense. It's just a no-brainer, obviously. The justice should not be able to take a private plane for a vacation in Indonesia or go on a huge yacht trip without telling the American people that they're doing it. And yeah, you're talking about a Wisconsin tradition that I was always proud of. I actually brought it to Washington, a gift ban for members of Congress. They used to be able to get all kinds of stuff until McCain and I shut that down. And I'm pleased to hear that, and I think it is, followed in the private sector often as well. There is no excuse for this to be the system for our Supreme Court. And it is just common sense.
Thanks for that call, Wendy. Jed joins us now in La Couture Reserve. Jed, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Jed?
My main issue is it just seems like people aren't following their own rules. Or there's different sets of rules, and it makes it really confusing for the average citizen or any official. I think about the metal detectors in Washington that some people, they set them up and they just slide by. Or I think about, you know, and perhaps it occurs to me that it's just capitalism showing its true face, that it's just sheer nepotism, cronyism, and hypocrisy. And I'm not for any of those things, but if they come to light and people realize essentially that's what the systems are based on.
I gotcha, Jed. Thanks for the call. Senator Feingold, Jed says he's concerned about different sets of rules for different people. I mean, is it as simple as establishing, hey, the same rules that apply to all the other federal judges should apply to the Supreme Court justices?
Well, that would go a really long way. I mean, I think there was a thought over time that the Supreme Court would never get involved in this kind of thing, that they would have the dignity to know better, but that's not where we're at. So we need to get these rules in place, either by the Supreme Court or by the Congress. And keep in mind, if there were some decision with regard to Justice Thomas, it wouldn't be the first time. President Johnson appointed a Democrat appointee, Justice Fortas, somebody who was already on the Supreme Court, to be the Chief Justice. And it would have been the first Democrat appointed Chief Justice in my lifetime. And he didn't get through because there were some ethical questions raised about his relationship with the foundation. And he not only had to resign from, he didn't become Chief Justice, he also had to resign from the Supreme Court. So this isn't partisan. It's been done on the Democratic side. It could be done on the Republican side. It's about simply having some rules in place. And as the caller said, having people not think they could have two different sets of rules.
Thanks for that call. Janet joins us now in Lone Rock. Janet, hello.
Hello. Thank you. Most of what I wanted to say has already been said, but I would like to just say that I think one of the reasons that there isn't more public outcry for this is because of the lack of civics in school. And so many people don't even understand what the three branches of government are or what the rules are supposed to be. But absolutely, the Supreme Court judges should be the stellar example of a judge's behavior rather than the lowest bar where all of our county and state, you know, judges have to follow rules that they don't have to. And I think there definitely should be an investigation in Congress and both the judge and his wife. And then let's keep going and let's do term limits and put some other guidelines on these justices, because this is just totally, totally unacceptable. And it should, and everybody should be taken to the streets over this. It's ridiculous.
Janet, thanks for the call. Senator Feingold, Janet's case that, you know, maybe we've lost a certain element of our civic understanding and not grasping the implications here. What do you think?
Well, amen to that. There's no question about it. People need to be taught at an early age that the role of the Supreme Court is to be independent and not political. And the problem now is the court has become so political and so politicized and such an agenda that if you combine that with ethical concerns and violations, what you have is an institution that loses its justification to exist. And so it is time for an investigation. It is time for action. And it is necessary, apparently, for Congress to step in a situation where you wish it didn't have to. I also agree with the caller, and American Constitution Society endorses either adding justices to the court to balance what's happened, or, as she said, term limits. We think it's time that it would make sense to have some kind of limitation, maybe 18 years for the time a justice can serve on the court. It's not working the way it's done right now.
Thanks for that call, Senator Feingold. And just our last half a minute, Republicans, including on the Judiciary Committee, say the politicization is these attacks, these overblown attacks, they would say, on the justices. Give us 30 seconds to respond to that.
Well, that's just ridiculous. Some of the investigations that have come out are talk about justices who have been appointed by people on both sides of the aisle. And I think that the members of the Judiciary Committee know very well that if they tried to pull this, if they tried to take these kind of yacht trips and not report it on their ethics forms, they'd be in big trouble before the Senate Ethics Committee, and they might be expelled from the Senate. So the idea that it's just politics, when it's the same thing that could throw them out of the Senate, is silly.
Senator Feingold, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Russ Feingold, former Democratic senator from Wisconsin, current president of the American Constitution Society. He served on the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee, and he joined us today for a look at the ethical standards in place for justices on the U.S. Supreme Court.